This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Wednesday's close, May corn was down 2¾ to 355¼. July corn was down 2¼ to 364¼, and September corn was down 1¾ to 372¼. May beans were down 3½ to 814¼. July beans were down 3½ as well to 827¼. And August beans were down 3½ to 833½. Wheat for May was up 3/4 to 431¼. July wheat was down 1/2 to 439, and September wheat was also down 1/2 to 447¼. Soybean meal for May was up 30¢ to 288.70. July bean meal was down 30¢ to 292.90, and August bean meal was down 20¢ to 294.60. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 10¢ to 26.71. July bean oil was down 10¢ to $27 even. And August bean oil was also down 10¢ to 27.14. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. The grain trade is waiting for Friday's world supply and demand report and the outcome of the U.S.-China trade talks. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents lower at 313 to 347. Soybean bids are down 5 to 6 cents at 741 to 785. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 cents lower at 327 to 349. Soybean bids were down 4 cents at 759 to 792. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents lower at 329 to 360. Soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 762 to 807. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 to 6 cents lower at 793 to 803. Basis was mixed at 34 under to 24 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 271.90 to 292.90. Down 30 cents a ton, with basis steady at 2100 to option to July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 344 to 364, with basis unchanged at 2000 to option to July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 4 cents lower at 346 to 353, with basis steady to down 2 at 1800 to 1100 to July. Soybeans ended down 4 to 6 cents at 788 to 797. With basis unchanged to down 2 at 3900 at 30 under the July. New crop wheat prices were down a penny at 409 to 432. Basis was steady at 30 under to 7 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating terminal of Ace Placer producer corn bids 3 cents lower at 376 to 377. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 cents. Quotations at 818 to 822. Soft wheat closed down a penny at 468 to 469. Milo ended the day 3 cents lower at 360 to 369. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 324 to 352. Soybeans at 775 to 796. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 340 to 357. Soybeans at 786 to 807. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 318 to 358. Soybeans at 772 to 803, and June, July wheat at 415 to 444. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle were down $1.20 to $111.07. August live cattle were down $1.67 to $107.40. And October live cattle were down $1.80 to $107.65. On to feeder cattle for May, they were down $1.52 to $135.77. August feeders were down $1.72 to $143.87. And September feeders were down $1.62 to $144.85. Finally, May lean hogs were up 52 cents to $83.57. June lean hogs were down 70 cents to $88.55. and July lean hogs were down $1.37 to $90.75. Now we'll turn it over for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the national daily direct hog report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 23 cents lower. In a range of $72 to $82 with a weighted average carcass price of $79.04. From the Illinois direct sow report, slaughter sow price were weaker with good demand for moderate heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 50 to 58, 4 to 5 weight at 54 to 62, 5 to 6 weight at 58 to 65, and over 600 pounds, $60 to $67. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts at country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $51 to $57. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $16,810. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and line bases trade at $119 to $122. And on a dress base at $187 to $194. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $119 to $122. And on a dress basis at $190 to $194. From the National Daily Plant Pork Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 283 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $84.94, which is 73 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $223.01, which is 86 cents lower, while select carcasses were $207.49, which is $4.34 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 122,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 121,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 473,000 compared to 474,000 last week and 463,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Litchfield National Bank. And by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And in Ag News for this part two of the Morning Ag Show, the Mississippi and Illinois waterways may not fully reopen for several more weeks, according to an official with the Waterways Council Trade Group. Waterways Council Senior Vice President Deborah Calhoun says high water across the Mississippi, Missouri, and Illinois rivers will take some time yet to recede and operations to return to normal.
It looks like it could be until the beginning of June before operations begin to normalize. I wouldn't expect it to be the entire month of June.
The Coast Guard on Friday shut down a 5-mile stretch of the Mississippi River in St. Louis, a major grain loading and transit point on the main commercial artery for Midwestern farmers and others. Calhoun says locks on the Illinois River are also shuttered.
It's hard to say exactly when we'll see the Illinois reopened as well. Could be around the same time frame. So we're looking, I believe, at the beginning of June before we see any normalization of these commodities moving.
Recent damage estimates, as published in the Washington Post, are pegged at $12 billion in the upper Midwest flood damage to crops, livestock, homes, and businesses. The 2,300-mile-plus Mississippi carried nearly $2 billion worth of soybeans, corn, coal, crude oil, fertilizer, and more last year alone.
This is the most cost-competitive way for the American family farmer to get their products to market. So when there's a shutdown, either due to drought or flooding or something related to the lock and dam infrastructure itself, it has the largest impact around this time of year on the agriculture industry.
She also adds the impact of agriculture includes both shipments downriver and inputs like fertilizer that move upriver. Economists from the University of Illinois and the Ohio State University say serious planting delays will result in reduced yields this year. Gary Schnittke of Illinois and Carl Zuloff of Ohio point out that history suggests the odds have increased for lower corn yields in 2019 compared to last year, and soybean yields will likely not be exceptional. Very little planting has occurred over much of the Corn Belt, as 23% of corn was reported planted in the top 18 corn-producing states, compared to a 46% average for the last 5 years at this time during spring. Late planting does not necessarily mean that 2019 yields will be low. In 2009, much late planting of corn occurred, and national yields were still 10 bushels above trend. However, the two economists write that yields have been exceptionally higher across the Midwest recently. With delayed planting, yields are expected to be more towards average. Higher yields kept net incomes high enough for farmers to get by last year, but that may be gone in 2019. In other national ag news, the Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency announced this week the March 2019 income over feed cost margin was $8.85 per hundredweight. That level triggers the third payment for dairy producers who purchase the appropriate level of coverage under the new Dairy Margin Coverage Program. That program replaces the Margin Protection Program for dairy and offers protection to dairy producers when the difference between the all milk price and the average feed cost falls below a certain dollar amount selected by the producer. The sign-up period for the new Dairy Margin Coverage Program opens June 17th. Dairy producers who elect a coverage level between 9 and 9.50 would be eligible for payments from January, February, and March of this year. FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce says under the certain coverage levels, the amount to be paid to the dairy farmer for the months of January, February, and March already exceed the costs of the premium. He encouraged all dairy operations to sign up for the program when it becomes available on June 17th. Moving on to local ag news, recently I had the chance to catch up with Katie Wilson, manager at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. We talked about what's going on with the Farm Bureau in the month of May, as well as a few summertime activities.
Well, 2019 is just chugging right along. I can't believe that we are in May. I would think that farmers are saying the same thing because they're not in the fields yet, which is not a good thing. I don't want to sit here and talk about the sad story if we have too much rain, but that's the reality in farming right now. Something else that's going on in the month of May, it's not a topic that we discuss a whole lot, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's kind of a hot topic right now in the ag industry and something that Farm Bureau has been focusing on. So I thought it'd be timely for you and I to just chat about it a little bit. I do have some tips for farmers to put in their mental wellness toolbox, we'll call it. I know that farming is stressful right now for a number of reasons. So these are just some things that are common sense, but sometimes it's good to talk about things and remind yourself. So I have about 12 tools. The first one is to incorporate a little bit of exercise every day. Even if it's just a walk down the driveway or walking instead of jumping on the four-wheeler or the side-by-side, get the blood flowing. That can help with your mental wellness. Go to the doctor and get a checkup if you hadn't had one for a while. It's raining. You're not in the field. Don't tell me you're too busy right now. You can make time for that. Spend time to plan your day, even if it's just a few minutes in the morning. Kind of map out what you're going to do. Try to manage some of that stress. And if you're overwhelmed that you're not getting things done, try to have a plan. Take regular breaks to break up your day, and that would be a perfect time to take a walk as well. You can write things down that you're thankful for each day. If you're feeling really stressed out and everything's just not going the way you want it, stop and take a minute to think about what is going right. There's got to be something. Talk to somebody, whether it's a counselor or your neighbor, a friend, you're just having a cup of coffee. Talk about your concerns or whatever's bothering you. The next one on the list is to take 15 minutes to have a conversation with your spouse or your family member. Life gets busy. Can you relate to that, Gabe?
Very busy, because there's sometimes where, well, even in the radio side of the ag part of it, it's I'm here from early in the morning, and then I go home, eat supper, take a shower, go to bed, and start it all over again. So, yeah, definitely.
I would agree. Sometimes, you know, thinking about having a conversation is overwhelming. You're like, I just want to veg out and watch TV and not talk to someone. But it's actually mentally healthy to do so. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, take some time to visit with whoever is important to you in your life. They say get involved, stay connected with friends and family. Again, same thing, have those conversations. Discuss the needs of your farming operation with others, and don't let them occupy other parts of your life. Know that you have responsibilities on the farm, but it's always good to take a break. And if you need some advice or if you're struggling, go out and ask for it. They say seek constructive feedback, which I know a lot of times farmers are hesitant to talk about their operations or ask for help, but sometimes that one conversation can, you know, give you the answer that you're looking for. This one is pretty basic. You don't have to be a farmer to apply this in your life, but it says create a budget and live within your means. I think that's good advice for anyone that's listening. It doesn't have to be someone who's farming. I think that's a good rule of thumb for everyone. And then the last tip is just they say to select three healthy habits that you are going to try to practice daily. So maybe out of these 12 things that I've mentioned, if you can pick three of them, you're on the right path. And I'm not a certified counselor or anything, but just ways to help you through stressful times. And May is the month to talk about it. And so I wanted to share those tips with everyone.
Mental health awareness and not just agriculture is kind of becoming a topic that's more talked about lately as we move into new things. We're kind of thinking about and being more self-conscious of health awareness. And you were mentioning about walks. In the days that we do have a beautiful day, it's pretty nice when we do get a nice day.
Yes, and as you said, it's becoming few and far between this spring, unfortunately. So take advantage of the sunshine.
More things going on with the Farm Bureau. We're coming up towards graduation, so I hear you have a few scholarship winners.
Yes, I wanted to take some time to recognize those recipients that were chosen to be winners of our Montgomery County Farm Bureau Foundation scholarships. Each year, the foundation board has judge applications, and the board usually agrees to award three high school scholarships and three scholarships to those kids that are in college. So this year, I'd like to congratulate Cody Nodal, who is attending Nokomis High School, Jaden Martin of Litchfield High School, and Cole Wall of Greenville High School. Those were our three high school recipients. And we only had two for college recipients. Congratulations to Mason Fesser, who's currently attending Lincolnland Community College, and Peyton Tester, who's currently at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. These scholarships were $2,000 each. It's a great amount, and it's renewable up to two times. So these recipients, if they have not received it once already, they can apply again in future years. That scholarship application usually opens up in December, and then it's due around the beginning of March. So keep that in mind for next year.
And is there really any requirement besides going to college, anything like that? Is there anything else that those students need to be aware of?
So on the application, it lists the instructions. We do ask that your parent or guardian or yourself are a Farm Bureau member for 1 year prior to applying. So if you're thinking about it for next year, I'd say get a hold of me, become a member so that you are eligible. And then we also ask that you are going to be studying in a field of agriculture or a field that would support the ag industry. So the judges thought, well, we should be considerate. People might maybe going into biology or chemistry, and then we'll go on to work for a seed company or something like that. So an ag field or a field that would support agriculture, and then have your parent or guardian be a Farm Bureau member and apply and have everything you need in the application, and that will get you considered for a scholarship.
And as you said, 2019's chugging along, and the summertime events will be coming up. So is there anything going on with the Farm Bureau throughout the summer?
We are trying to become more active and think of new ideas, something that's taken place over the last 2 years. I had the privilege of doing this for the first time last summer. We have membership appreciation cookouts. The last 2 years, these have taken place in July, probably the same time frame again this year. We partner with our local country financial reps, and we've been hosting these at their offices around the county. And so if you're a Farm Bureau member, be on the lookout for probably a postcard in the mail to inform you of those dates. If that sounds like something you'd like to participate in, sign up to be a member, and that's really easy. You can do it online, or you can stop in or call my office.
And anything else you'd like to mention here as we chug right through May?
As always, Farm Bureau can be a resource for you, whether you're a farmer or not a farmer. We have both types of members. Our office number is 217-532-6171. If you would like to give me a call, I can try to help answer your questions, or you could visit us online at montcofb.com.
And again, that was Katie Wilson, manager of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. And for this Thursday morning, May 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.